Welcome to HN Pod, your daily dive into the top stories and discussions from Hacker News. I am Sarah.
And I am Mike. Thanks for joining us for episode number 414. Today, we are looking back at the biggest stories from yesterday, June 1st, 2026.
We have a really packed and honestly pretty wild lineup today. We are going to be talking about what might be the goofiest Instagram exploit of all time, a massive supply chain attack hitting Red Hat, and how someone managed to run a state-of-the-art AI model on a 10-year-old server.
Plus, we will take a trip down memory lane to look at the Pirate Bay 20 years after the infamous police raid, and wrap up with some massive financial news as Anthropic confidentially files for an IPO at a staggering valuation.
Let us just jump right into that first story, because I was laughing out loud reading this one. The post is literally titled, "The newest Instagram exploit is the goofiest I have seen," and goofy is the perfect word. A security researcher named Sid documented how a bunch of high-profile Instagram accounts, including the Obama White House account, were seemingly hacked, and the method is just absurd.
It really is. I've been in security for a long time, and you expect these complex zero-day exploits or elaborate phishing campaigns. Nope. Step one, the attacker gets your username. Step two, they turn on a VPN to match the city you live in. Step three, they open a chat with Meta's AI support bot, tell it the account was hacked, and ask it to send a verification code to a totally new, random email address.
And the AI just does it. It sends the code to the attacker's email. The attacker reads the code, pastes it back into the chat, and the AI says, "Great, here's a password reset link. You now own the account." It completely bypasses two-factor authentication, existing sessions are revoked, the real owner gets zero notifications. It is a total account takeover achieved by just asking an AI nicely.
The comments on Hacker News were a mix of horror and complete lack of surprise. One user made a really brilliant analogy about security design. They pointed out that a system can either fail safe or fail secure. Think of an electronic door in a building. If the power goes out, does the door stay locked, which is failing secure, or does it unlock so people can escape a fire, which is failing safe?
Right, and in this case, account recovery is basically failing safe. If you lose your email, Meta wants you to still be able to get your account back. But by making it that easy, they open the door for anyone to pretend to be you.
Exactly. And another commenter pointed out that support requests have always been the weakest link. Even before AI, human support staff could be socially engineered into disabling two-factor authentication. The difference now is that an LLM has zero intuition. If you follow its logic puzzle, it just hands over the keys.
People in the thread were brainstorming solutions, like having a mandatory 3-day delay on email changes or notifying all previous emails and emergency contacts, like Apple does. It is just wild that a trillion-dollar company rolled out an AI support agent with such high privileges and seemingly zero guardrails. Sid mentioned in the post that Meta has patched this specific flow now, but it was apparently active for weeks.
Moving from social media security to open source security, our next story is a bit more sobering. Malicious NPM packages were detected across the Red Hat Cloud Services scope.
Yeah, this is a classic supply chain attack. An attacker managed to compromise dozens of packages under the official Red Hat Cloud Services namespace on NPM. We are talking about packages for compliance clients, config managers, front-end components, you name it.
What stood out to me in the Hacker News discussion was the sheer fatigue developers are feeling around this. An embedded developer chimed in saying that coming from a world where they lock down tool chains and dependencies for years at a time, modern web development culture is just a massive shock. You run NPM install and suddenly you are pulling in thousands of nested dependencies from strangers on the internet.
But there was a really constructive thread started by a user named Aranation about how to actually mitigate this. They brought up the concept of cooldowns. The idea is incredibly simple but effective. You configure your package manager to ignore any package release that is younger than a certain number of days, say 1 to 3 days.
That makes so much sense. Most of these malicious packages are discovered and taken down by the registry within 24 to 48 hours. So if you just wait a couple of days before automatically pulling in the latest patch, you avoid the blast radius entirely.
Exactly. They mentioned that newer versions of PNPM actually have a 1-day cooldown built in by default now. And there are tools like DepsGuard and cooldowns.dev that can enforce this for other package managers. Of course, the caveat is if there is a critical 0-day vulnerability that you need to patch immediately, you have to bypass the cooldown. But as the commenter pointed out, right now, the risk of a malicious supply chain attack seems way higher than the risk of a new 0-day.
It is a great practical tip. Speaking of practical and maybe a little stubborn, our third story is an absolute masterclass in stretching old hardware to its limits. The Proust is titled, A 10-Year-Old Xeon is All You Need.
I loved this read. The author took an old recycled server with a single Intel Xeon processor from 2016, no GPU, and 128 gigabytes of incredibly slow DDR3 memory. And on this ancient machine, they managed to run Gemma 4, which is a massive 26 billion parameter AI model at reading speed.
To understand why this is so impressive, you have to understand the memory wall. When an AI generates text, the actual math processing isn't usually the bottleneck. The bottleneck is hauling gigabytes of model weights from the system memory into the CPU cache for every single word it generates. It is like trying to drain a swimming pool through a drinking straw.
So how did they do it? Dark arts, basically. They used a highly optimized fork of llama.cpp and passed it a massive string of flags that most people never see because tools like a llama hide them. The biggest trick was using speculative decoding.
Right. Speculative decoding is fascinating. Instead of asking the giant 26 billion parameter model to generate every single word one by one, you run a tiny fast draft model alongside it. The small model guesses the next three or four words, and then you pass that whole guess to the giant model to verify all at once. Because CPU compute is cheap, but memory bandwidth is expensive, spending extra CPU cycles to guess ahead actually saves you massive amounts of time.
They also had to use flags to reorganize the weight matrices in memory to match the CPU cache layout and explicitly lock the model into RAM so the Linux kernel would not try to swap it to the hard drive.
The Hacker News comments were full of hardware nerds debating the specs. There was a whole side thread about whether that specific Xeon V4 processor even supported DDR3 memory because most of them moved to DDR4. Turns out there were some niche motherboards out of China that allowed you to pair those newer chips with older, cheaper DDR3 RAM. It is just a testament to the open source AI community. They are building tools that let you run state-of-the-art models on hardware that belongs in a museum.
It really is the ultimate hacker ethos, taking something discarded and making it do something impossible, which actually transitions perfectly into our next story, a look back at one of the most resilient sites on the internet. Torrent Freak published an article titled, The Pirate Bay Remains Resilient, 20 Years After the Raid.
Wow, 20 years. May 31st, 2006, 65 Swedish police officers raided a data center in Stockholm to take down the Pirate Bay. The entertainment industry thought they had finally killed it, but they had no idea that just moments before the police walked in, co-founder Fredrik Ney had a bad feeling and decided to run a full backup of the site.
Because of that one backup, they had the site back online in 3 days. They even renamed it the Police Bay and changed their logo to a pirate ship shooting cannonballs at Hollywood. It completely backfired on the authorities. The media coverage just drove massive amounts of traffic to the site and turned the founders into folk heroes.
The Hacker News discussion on this was really interesting because it wasn't just about the history. It was about why people are still pirating today. A lot of commenters were complaining about the current state of streaming. One user mentioned trying to watch Malcolm in the Middle on Disney Plus and discovering that entire audio tracks were missing. Like a character is talking to a neighbor through a wall, but the neighbor's audio is just completely gone.
Yes, and people were talking about AI upscaled movies where the actors look like wax figures, or classic Simpsons episodes being cropped to widescreen so the visual jokes are literally cut out of the frame.
That brought up a really deep debate in the comments about art versus content. When you treat a television show as art, you care about preserving the original aspect ratio, the original audio, the original jokes. But when streaming platforms treat it purely as content, they just want to fit it into their modern players and algorithm feeds.
And that is why the piracy ecosystem still thrives. The people ripping and sharing these old shows actually care about the metadata and the quality. It is ironic that sometimes the only way to get the authentic, unadulterated version of a piece of media is to download it illegally because the official rights holders have butchered it.
It is a cycle. We went from cable TV to piracy. Then Netflix made streaming so convenient that piracy dropped. And now streaming has fragmented into a dozen expensive services with degraded quality, so people are firing up their torrent clients again. The Pirate Bay might be run by a completely anonymous group now, but the demand for what it offers hasn't gone away.
All right, let us move to our final story of the day, and it is a massive one for the tech industry. Anthropic has confidentially submitted a draft S-1 to the SEC for an initial public offering.
This is huge. The article notes they just raised a $6.5 billion Series H funding round at a post-money valuation of $9.65 billion. They are knocking on the door of a $1 trillion valuation before even hitting the public markets.
The numbers are just staggering, but the Hacker News comments were incredibly polarized on what this means for the industry. One commenter pointed out that up until now, the potential blast radius for an AI bubble bursting was limited to venture capitalists and big tech companies. But once Anthropic goes public, regular retail investors and 401k funds are going to get exposure.
Yeah, that user noted that the quarter-by-quarter pressure of public earnings calls is going to be a brutal wake-up call. They compared it to the dot-com boom, pointing out that initial giants like AOL and Yahoo didn't survive at their peak scale, implying that maybe OpenAI and Anthropic are just the first wave that will eventually be replaced.
But there was a really strong counterargument to that in the thread. Another user compared Anthropic not to AOL, but to Google. They reminded everyone that there was a ton of doom and gloom around Google's IPO in 2004, but Google had incredible growth and margin economics. They argued that Anthropic's revenue growth rates and inference margins are astoundingly good, and that the doomer vibes are ignoring the actual underlying business.
That sparked a whole nostalgic debate about early search engines. People were arguing over whether AltaVista was faster than Google back in the day. Someone who actually ran AltaVista operations in the year 2000 chimed in to explain their server architecture, which is just classic Hacker News. You always find the one person who actually built the thing in the comments.
I love when that happens. But bringing it back to Anthropic, it is going to be fascinating to see how the public markets price this. A $9.65 billion private valuation sets an incredibly high bar. If they price the IPO at 100 times annual recurring revenue, as some comments are speculated, it is going to be too rich for a lot of value investors. But if the AI scaling laws hold up and Claude continues to integrate into enterprise workflows, maybe it is justified.
Only time will tell. But it definitely feels like we are entering a new era of the AI boom, where these companies have to open their books and prove they can build sustainable, profitable businesses under the public microscope.
Absolutely. Well, that covers it for today's top stories, from Meta's AI handing over Instagram accounts, to protecting your code with cooldowns, running massive models on ancient hardware, the legacy of the Pirate Bay, and the impending Anthropic IPO.
Thanks so much for tuning in to episode 414. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe and share it with a friend. We will be back tomorrow with more of the best discussions from Hacker News.
Have a great day, everyone. See you tomorrow.